Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Aunt.
Yes, Tom.
Am I live on the radio?
You're live on the internet radio.
I was fired. I was fired. I was fired, so sad to tell. Well, I never saw it coming.
Bam! Somebody kicks the door. Bam! It's a train. He's kicked the door open because he's.
Yeah, Hunter S. Thompson said that music is like fuel, and he was convinced that with the right song on the radio, you could drive with an empty tank of gas. Said that music is like fuel, and he was convinced that with the right song on the radio, you could drive with an empty tank of gas.
No, you didn't grow up in my house, honey. In my house, every day was like this. You would go into the bathroom, close the door, and be ready to do your business. Someone would tear open the shower curtain with a knife just standing there.
Then I noticed, how shall I put it, some leakage, and I feared the worst. So I went to a clinic and was examined by a Chinese doctor. His diagnosis was non-specific urethritis.
Jack in Lakewood, what's up, Jack?
Yeah, regarding the situation with Bob Kraft, have you ever engaged in anything like that yourself?
First of all, you're a moron for following up with that nonsense. That's what not what you asked to call about. Okay, number one. All right, number two, I have not. But you know what? You're just a jerk for even calling up the show and wasting our time. Brian in Staten Island, what's up, Brian?
Catholics.
No, your podcast is not my podcast. Your podcast is your podcast. My podcast is my podcast.
Stop singing. Nothing means nothing. What do you mean by that?
Thank you. Angeles doing the best show. What's up? The phone number, 201-3-323-484. That's the number if you want to get in on the action and give a call. And tonight, what are we talking about? Well, we are talking about... We are talking about those artists where you were given it, and you were in, and you were on it, and you loved it, and then you finally, after a whole lot of bad stuff, you finally had to get on board, and you said, yeah, I'm out. That's a number to call the best show. And I'm Tom, and I'm here, and we're doing the show, and you should call. And we're going to have a grand old time. Fun old times, just like Grandpappy used to organize. Fun to get together at the bowling alley. Showtime. I know it's best showtime. So let's start the show. Right? Let's start the best show. Los Angeles. United States. Planet Earth, baby. Here we go. Best show.
Jason.
Hi, Tom.
How are you?
You got Mike.
How's it going?
What?
You got Mike, you got Jason, you got me.
How about that? It's like a regular who's who.
I was running a little late, but I'm here now.
Yeah, he came in right on time.
Yeah. On studio time. I'm going to just say this. I love all three of you. Love all three, you know that. But you each got your games. Got your little games, and you think I don't know about it. That's the other thing. You, all three of you. Look, I got games. You don't think I got games? I know games I'm doing. But you three got them too. And you're playing them and you think I have no idea.
I know you have an idea. I'm on to your game of our games.
Which is your game, perhaps.
Perhaps.
You might have just tried your game on me right now.
I might have.
I know what your game is. I know you do games, Tom. The studio's game. It's meant to hurt, not to heal. This game makes the other two guys feel bad. He manages to breeze in. Gets there right on time.
Theme is over. I sit down, piece of pizza. We're ready to move on.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you got Mike. God knows when he showed up. Probably showed up this at 2:30 in the afternoon.
I'm still showing up at the usual time.
To make sure his key still works.
Yeah.
Mike put a load of laundry in.
Yeah. Are you doing laundry there, Mike?
Oh, I didn't think he'd mind. I'm bringing my own soap.
It's fine. Go ahead. Got the washing machines and the dryer. Do your own laundry. Go for it.
The dryer's not connected, though, guys.
Oh, no.
Because the bird that got stuck in it, remember?
Oh, okay. Oh yeah.
So
we're perhaps revealing too much about this yeah. studio.
Well, I mean, you're not going to find the location based on a bird getting stuck in a dryer, but
yeah, there's some maniac somewhere cross-referencing.
It's got a big board
stuck in dryer, New Jersey. Any calls?
Full lit up tree.
Oh man,
I'm going to say this first of all, Mike.
Yeah.
What movies did you like this year? You liked nothing. You liked nothing.
I'm still working my way through some of the nominated features. You know what I just watched? Did you see Little Women yet?
Yes, I did.
Was it necessary, all that back and forth in time stuff? That was annoying, wasn't it?
The time traveling?
Yeah, they kept going back and forth. The character dies.
Time traveling.
And then in the next scene, she's alive again. I mean, was she trying to make it Pulp Fiction, the Pulp Fiction version of Little Women? I didn't get it.
Yeah, that's exactly what the goal was, to make it the Pulp Fiction version of Little Women.
To make it more modern, I.
Well, that's how they compete with Once Upon a Time.
It just was annoying to me.
Mike, it's a good movie.
It was all right.
I enjoyed it.
It's a good movie.
A Hidden Life, I saw that. Have you seen that one yet?
Which one?
A Hidden Life, the Terrence Malick movie.
No, I didn't see that. That's your guy.
This
guy will get on every movie. He goes to the movies. He watches a movie where it's 2 hours of Brad Pitt trying to fix an ice box, and then the other 2 hours watching a dinosaur stomp all around. Uh-huh. And then he's going to say what's good.
Uh-huh.
He's going to say what's good. This is who we're to. No, you like Terrence Malick movies.
It was all right. I mean, he had a lot of untranslated German, which I didn't quite understand because the main character clearly would have spoken German too. So mm-hmm. I didn't quite understand what was the point of that. But it was all right. It wasn't as good as A Tree of Life.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Wasn't as good as Tree of Life.
No. Okay. That's still the number one.
Yeah. You know, Mike, I went to the movies last night. I said this at the window. One for Knives Out, please.
Oh, yeah. I saw that, too.
I want to see that.
Yeah, well, I saw it. Uh-huh. Did you like it, Mike?
One of the characters has a particular character trait that I thought was ridiculous. I think you probably understand what I'm talking about.
The sweater?
The horking up all over the place?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, it's called entertainment.
Yeah, okay.
I enjoyed it.
Take it easy. Take it easy. It's called entertainment.
Other than that, it was all right, and you kind of knew who was going to be the bad guy.
Yeah, well, they told you that a third of the way in. They explained how he died. Mike, God bless you. You don't like movies. You like the script you wrote over it. What's that called again?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, Motherless.
MotherlessChildrenScript.com.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Thank you.
I bought that URL for Mike. It was a present.
I got to pay him back.
No, you know.
Very sweet of you. Also, that's the game right there. We're hearing the game right there.
You don't have to pay me back, Mike.
Oh, this is the game. This is Dudio's game.
Just one day I'll call on you.
Yeah. Don Corleone over here. The call's going to come in one day, Mike. God knows what he's going to ask you for. So I went and I saw it. It was playing in a 35 millimeter, right? Only one print exists, and they showed it at the theater, and it was the first time they showed it, and it was beautiful. It looked amazing.
Which theater?
It looked so good. The Egyptian. Not the Alamo Draft House.
Okay. Just making sure.
His blood was already boiling over here.
Yeah. So I go and I seize this thing, right? And I get a seat. And it's like I'm in one seat and there's an empty seat next to me. And this lady comes and is like, movie's just about to start. She's like, and Mike, I went to the snack stand. What do you think I got?
Chuckles.
All three of you guess what I got.
Chuckles.
Chuckles. Chuckles. What am I in a hospital waiting room in 1981? Chuckles.
It's still weird out there.
Sleeve.
It's still out there.
One chuckles, please.
I think I'll take a chuckles. A chuckles. That is maybe the funniest thing you've ever said. The idea that I would have gotten chuckles at the movie. That Mike, I'm going to say it. You just won the night. Chuckles.
Kind of chuckle.
I'd like do you have chuckles? Of course, we do, sir.
One regular.
Oh God, I love chuckles. One. I didn't realize that's what this is.
Now this guy's all over Mike. Hey, why don't the two of you go in on a case of chuckles together?
I literally clicked on something and it was bulk chuckles.
Can we keep guessing what
case
you got?
Case of 24.
Bulk chuckles would be a pretty good name for an action hero.
I got a guess. I got a guess, Tom.
All right, so Mike, you say I got chuckles. Yeah. And what did I get to drink?
Coffee latte.
Oh, what? Chuckles and a latte.
Oh, yeah.
That's
sugar high.
That's the worst pairing I've ever heard.
Sugar high.
Call the police.
Sugar high and a life low. Could you imagine? Oh, yes. Do I dip my chuckles in the latte?
You gotta. Like a frosty.
Yeah. So Mike says chuckles and a latte, which is really funny. Pat, what do you say?
I'm going to say a bag of Sour Patch Kids and either a medium Diet Coke or a medium fountain seltzer.
Pat's closer with the medium Diet Coke. Pat took one of the two items off the board. The beverage has been...
It was a medium Diet Coke.
Medium deep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. DC.
But the snack, I did not get a bag of Sour Patch Kids or Chuckles.
Large nachos.
No, I didn't get large nachos.
Should we keep going round robin?
Yeah, let's keep going.
Raisinets?
Closer.
Okay, I know what it is.
If he says closer, that's not popcorn then, which would have been the first go-to, obviously.
Okay. That's right.
All right. Closer with raisinettes. So, snow caps?
Ugh. Snow caps?
They're chocolate. They're chocolate covered.
I don't think I've ever even had a snow cap.
But they're always at the movie theater.
They're always at the movie
theater. They're always coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snow cap. They're little blobs of chocolate covered in these sprinkles.
Yeah.
Well,
that's like.
Mike said chuckles.
Oh, Pat. Pat, I'm not letting Mike off the hook for chuckles. I'm just adding you to the list now.
All right.
I'm going to go pretty straightforward here with this, and I'm going to say Skittles.
Skittles, no. You're come on.
It's the M&M peanuts.
Mike's so close with this. Mike gets it.
The M&M what?
The peanut M&Ms.
Okay.
No, it's not. Wow. Look, it was Milk Duds, okay?
Oh, okay.
Got a box of Milk Duds.
That pairs well with a Diet Coke.
Yeah, it does. Thank you, Judy. Well, I wouldn't know because I got up to let this lady in. And I get up, I got my jacket on, and then I promptly spill all my Milk Duds.
No.
I just opened the box.
Oh, come on.
They spill all over the floor.
Did the cashier see it and take pity?
No, I was up at the, I was letting her slide in for the seat.
Oh, no.
You didn't stand up?
Sorry?
You didn't stand up? You did the knee move?
No, I stood up. I was on the aisle.
Oh, you did the right thing.
I stepped out. And I let her take the seat.
Yeah, you did the right thing. I don't like those guys that they do the knee move rather than getting up.
Yeah, no, it's I got up. I'm a kind person.
Yeah, good for you.
Thank you, Mike.
How much do you guys think a case of 24 chuckles goes for these days?
You just looked it up.
Yeah, no, I know.
$46.
You're close.
38.
You're wrong.
Oh, you hear the joy in Dude's voice? Yes. You're wrong.
You should have seen the hand gesture.
I even pointed my phone at him.
I probably got as close as you did to the guess. And then for me, it's like, you're close.
Yeah, for me, it's...
you are actually closer. So it's...
For Pat, it's like, you're wrong.
Yeah.
He motioned his hand like, just leave. Just get out of here.
What a dumb move, Pat.
Yeah, no, it's like Gladiator. He's got the emperor over there.
Yeah, thumbs down.
Except he's instead of voting on who gets to fight the lions, he's talking about a bulk case of chuckles.
How much do you think, Mike?
42.
No.
I split the difference. Did you see what I did there?
No, I see that.
Now, how much are they?
$54 at candyality.com.
At least we didn't go over.
I know.
We were all under.
Yeah.
Tom would have won.
Yeah.
Tom
did win, Mike.
Price is right.
Mike, we'll get some chuckles up in there. You guys want to order some chuckles?
I would love some chuckles.
Let's do it. Go for it. Pull the trigger on some chuckles.
I'm going to. There's new chuckles minis too, so I might get some of those.
Yeah. Well, let's. So yeah. So my Milk Duds spill out all over the floor, and. The lady goes, was that my fault? And I was like, no, it's fine. Uh-huh. So I sat down, rooted one lowly Milk Dud out of the box that didn't fall out, a single Milk Dud.
But I bet you it's stuck in your teeth all night long, though, huh?
Yeah, the Milk Duds are no friend of teeth.
They're the worst. Well, maybe there's other worse, yeah. Mary Jane.
But yeah, so Mary Janes are literally meant to extract teeth from your mouth. Weird, that and what honey bites? What are they again? Honey.
Yeah, there's peanut butter in there though.
Honey dogs. What were they called?
I thought they were just.
What do you call them?
Mary Janes.
Well, what do you call the honey one? Bit of honey.
Oh, bit of honey. Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you look a case of them up, dude? Yeah.
Bit of honey?
Hey, guys. Mike likes that.
Where did I get such a southern drawl?
Hey, guys. I got a price on a case of bit of honey. Guess how much? How much, Tom?
$44. you're so close. How about you, Pat? $26. You're wrong. It was 27. It was $26.02. You're 2 cents off, Pat, you idiot.
Can I just say your guess there, Tom?
Yeah.
It's actually $26.99.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. For a five-pound box of Bitto Honey.
That is just the weirdest thing, is that I'm...
Are you near the...
Are you at Candiality right now?
No,
I am not at Candiality right now. I promise I'm not. Which is an exciting thing. That's the next... movie by, what's his face? Christopher Nolan. It's called Candiality. And it's about Michael Caine. I'm stuck inside a bloody Milky Way. He's in every one of that guy's movies. What's that mean? Likes hanging out with him?
Yeah.
Nolan likes hanging out with Michael Caine. When do I get it? When do I get that? When do I get the guy or lady, because ladies can celebrate nepotism also. Where's my Wes Anderson who's just like, I'll throw you work every time. Every time I work, Tom, you work. Where's my Wes Anderson? Where's the person looking after me? Where's my McMillions? Where's my game piece? Right? Where's my bleeping game piece? Right, Mike?
Yeah, yeah.
Where's my bleeping game piece? I ain't got nobody handing me no game piece. And this McMillions thing. It's this a documentary, right? And it's on a home box office, which is HBO is the abbreviation of it. Hey, are you guys gonna? Can you guys check line five?
You're on line five.
You put it on?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Let's just get to the calls. I'll tell you more about this. I'll talk more about Chuckles and McMillions and all that later in the show, but I want to get to the phones. People have been very patient and have been on hold, and I want to talk to them. So, best show.
Hey, is this me?
Hello, hi.
Hey, hi, is this me?
It is, yes.
I got something for the topic. Am I the first to chime in?
You are. You're the first to participate in the topic.
Pretty exciting. All right, here's the thing. If I'm fully into something or someone as an artist, I don't ever fully disengage, but it comes pretty close. And I'll give you a couple examples. Is that okay?
Yeah, because we're talking about the idea of the topic is like, yeah, I'm out. When you finally gotta get out. So, you said you can't completely disengage, but I'll let you explain it, Carl.
Yeah. All right. So here's an example. I love Albert Brooks. I put those first three movies against anything in comedy. To me, they're the holy trinity of comedy. And I've been first in line for everything he's done since. Defending Your Life. Loved it. Mother. The Scout. The Muse, looking for comedy in the Muslim world, had some moments, but, you know, I think you know what I'm getting at. I'll still see what he does next. I mean, it's not like he's ever really wronged me personally. It's not like he's someone who I don't know, promised they were going to work with me on a big project one day and then won't take my calls the next day. You know, it's nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But and also in terms of music,
yeah,
love that band from Australia, The Church. Remember them?
Sure.
They still make records. I see them live when I can, but I kind of stopped buying those records They're still pretty good, but the last few albums have only featured two of the original guys, Steve and Peter, and sadly, Peter just announced he's leaving the band for good, so only Steve's left, who's great, but it's not the same thing. And I'll still check out what they're doing. It's not like I have a grudge against them. You know, I mean, it's not like they're the kind of fair weather friends who act all excited to see you to your face one minute and then act like they don't know you the next. You know, it's nothing like that.
You're saying some things that say, I'm picking up on, you keep mentioning like fair weather friends and look, when he leaves, what's the other guy, Pete?
Yeah.
From the church?
Peter,
so,
yeah.
Is there any chance that he'll just call it like Steve's church?
No, I think the brand is just too, it's, you know, I'm sure he owns the name. So he's within his rights to do it.
Mm-hmm. You know? Sure.
And he's the voice of it, you know, and like I said, it's not like he's like a turncoat or just like a bad person.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, hey, can I just say, I don't believe I caught your name.
I didn't tell you. It's Jerry.
This isn't Jerry Watkins, is it?
Yes, Tom. Yes, it is.
Okay, great. Well, I guess I should say for people who don't know, what's up? I wrote a script called Grown Ups 3, which got a lot of attention or buzz or whatever you want to call it. And I got some really good meetings with studios off of that script. And as a result, me and my manager ended up, Rupert and I were fielding a lot of offers from some legit places, some major studios, and you know, there was a deal that was going to happen, it looked like, with New West Lionsgate. And, you know, which is par for the course in show business, is that the deal fell through.
You know, it's tough because I really thought you and Rupert were good to go with us here at New West Lionsgate. And, by the way, I do want to apologize for something. I want to apologize for not having a wheelchair ramp. If I'd known that Rupert was 94, I'd have suggested meeting somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. He sounds so much younger when he's screaming at you on the phone. I'm sure you've experienced that.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got this kind of this excitement and this vigor for yelling at people, I think, is what it comes down to.
That's the thing with him. It's like you're getting yelled at, but at the same time, like there's not a real negative vibe to him. I've never really seen anything like it before.
Sometimes I'll be with if we ran out to eat or something, we'd be at a place mm-hmm. and be like, he'd be like, "Oh, I'm not sure what I'm gonna order," like really struggling. I'd be like, "I guess I'll get soup," or you know, and then suddenly if he realizes he's like, they didn't give me any crackers. Like, suddenly he's
super mad, yeah, yeah.
But he's super young. He sounds super alive.
Yeah, he's passionate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I was impressed by how passionately he was whipping you. It's weird that I've never seen someone who's getting pushed whip the person from in front. He had this amazing whip technique.
He's got this, his wrist is very
supple.
I was going to say he's got such a supple wrist.
He really does.
He really,
and they're
and
so
people
thin,
admire
so
it.
Thin. They do. People were people after you guys left, people at the office were saying, "Oh my God, I want to get whipping lessons from that old man."
Yeah. He's a bullwhip wizard.
I hope there's not a cure.
Yeah, no, he really. People will see him do his thing and they'll be like, "How do you think he does it?" And then somebody else will be like, I don't know.
I don't know.
And then the third person will be like, what makes him so good?
I'm going to come straight and say, I don't know what the next line is.
Uh-huh. Doesn't matter. We're talking about Rupert right now, who is still, look, Jerry, you know, it's show business. It happens. You know, the deal fell through. It's like, you know how things work in this line of work, Jerry. Things change and things happen. You know,
I do, but it just seemed like such a done deal. I had everyone except Sandler on board, and I was seriously just a couple moves away from getting him to commit. It's just such a disappointment. I hope you can understand that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tom.
Yeah.
I need you to level with me, okay?
Okay.
Is this because of what you saw that night in Darren Ploppleton's rec room in 1984?
I don't want to make this what this is about, but, you know, Jerry, yes. It honestly, you know, I got to just say, I didn't think I could ever be in the same room with you and not be just constantly thinking about what I saw that night.
Great. I knew it.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, let me just say, for people listening who don't know, Jerry and I, we both went to Newbridge High School together, and Jerry was one of the only kids who actually had a wacky package collection that rivaled mine, which was pretty impressive that you were so into it. Jerry, you moved away a month or so before graduation. I never saw or heard from you again. And I honestly didn't even know you were in the entertainment business until I walked into that conference room at New West Lionsgate last week.
Well, you know, that's what makes this whole thing so weird for me. You acted so glad to see me. You seemed genuinely happy to reconnect with me after all these years.
Jerry, though, you know what it is. I was doing the old Hollywood boop-a-doop, you know. The old Burbank shake and fake.
Oh, my God. So you weren't, in your own words, totally stoked, jazzed, and primed to work with us on Grown Ups 3. Is that correct?
That's fair.
I'll tell you, man, I could see the change in your face and your level of enthusiasm dip to zero the moment you realized it was Jerry from that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really don't want to get into this on the air. It's not what the show is about, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, look, maybe we should just talk about that night then.
Maybe we should. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'll talk about it if you want to talk. Like, yeah.
Fair enough. I'll tell you my version of it.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, I'll set the stage for your listeners. It was May of 1984, not too long before we graduate and go to the community colleges of our dreams. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, think about that time. The world was ours for the taking. It's just like, you know, when you're that age and everything seems possible, it's just such a good time. And I'll tell you, I was a shy guy all throughout school, but I started to really blossom in that final year of high school. I was going on dates. I was the sub-vice captain of the Newbridge High Tetherball Terrorists. I'll tell you, I still think it's weird that they call themselves that.
Yes.
You know, it's an odd choice to begin with, and then to keep it, you know, this late in the game. It's a weird call. Anyway, I'd also started getting into music, and I was buying records for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I recall you were a big fan of Synchronicity by the Police.
Yes, I was. Yeah. But, you know, anyway, I was so excited to be invited to Darren's party. And I saw that night, honestly, as my true entrance to the Cool Guys Club. I mean, to me, you and Darren were like Potsy and Ralph Mouth.
Potsy and why not Fonzie?
Fonzie? Oh my God! Now are you kidding me? Get real. No. So anyway, so I was just so excited about that party, and when I got there, you guys were playing Junior Twister and blasting all that cool music you like Blamage, Joe Boxers, ABC, Haircut 100, The Fix. And I'll tell you, I just thought I'd arrived when I walked in that door. But on the way there, and I was, you know, I drank two or three Schaefer's on my bike. And by the time I got there, I was, you know, I had to pee really bad. You know, and I can't pee outside. It's just this weird thing I've got. I can't do it. Anyway, so I ran downstairs to the bathroom, but I forgot the door wasn't shut. It was wide open. And that's when you saw what you saw.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, yes, it is.
You know what? I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this. Why don't you just tell the listeners what you saw that night that was so unforgivable that you're willing to take food off my family's dinner table?
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, look, I mean, I went in. I saw you were shirtless, semi-pantsless, I guess is how you'd say it. You were pointing at yourself in the mirror, and you had this really kind of weird, troubled and troubling, I guess. Let's just say a weird look on your face. And you're singing to yourself so loudly, to the tune of the police's synchronicity. It was like, with one kiss, with one hug, you will know Jerry-icity. And as you're doing it, you were just like really, I guess, caressing yourself is the way to describe it.
There you have it, folks. The world's most unforgivable crime. And if you're keeping score at home, the tally for worst humans ever to have existed, coming in first, we have Hitler. Second, we have Pol Pot. Third, we have Jerry Watkins. Fourth, we have Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Jerry, come on. You know that's not the end of the story. And, I mean, it's weird because what you did next wasn't, like, technically dirty. It's just, like, so truly disturbing. It's the only way I can... So, you know, I mean, I honestly didn't think they could – that. I really did not think they could even do that until, you know, I saw it with my own eyes. I thought it was physically, you know, or even like morally impossible for them to even be in that position.
Look, I know it's a weird context for them to be seen in that way the first time you see them like that. And I can understand how you found it shocking. But, you know, in some of the more erotically advanced societies, doing that with them for an extended amount of time, like I was doing, it's seen as a rite of passage.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look, even though I never told anybody about what I saw that night, it is an image that's burned into my mind. And... you know, as I said, I'm sorry, but it's just like I would not be able to – I'm trying to think how to say this. I could not unsee – I would not be able to see you every day and not think about what I saw you do with them. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. Yes and no, but it just reconfirms that this is all as bad or worse than I thought it was. And I'll tell you, I guess I'm just lucky my dad was offered that job with Union Carbide 2 days after that happened, or we wouldn't have moved, and I'd be the butt of all your jokes and all your good time friends' jokes, you know? So I guess it worked out good for me on some level.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait. So is that why you moved away? Because there were all these rumors why you left.
Really?
And, like, yeah.
Like what?
Well, look, we don't need to get into that.
No, tell me.
You sure?
Yes, I want to know. I'm an adult.
Okay, all right, Jerry. Well, some people thought you were the Quint City Quacker. You know, there was a guy who'd break into people's houses in the middle of the night and make duck sounds while doing push-ups.
People thought that was me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and other people said that Sylvester Stallone cast you as his son in that coming-of-age tetherball movie that he was directing that never even came out, which, what was that called? Oh, it was called Whacking It.
Whacking It, yeah. You know, I read the script for Whacking It, and it wasn't that bad. And, you know, I know I've heard you do these impressions. What if, you know, just to take a little side track here, what if I played the son whose name in that was Ricky, and you play Stallone as the father, okay? And one of the scenes, if I remember it, was Ricky comes home from school, and where he's just been told by Coach Dalrymple that he's not big enough to be on the tetherball team. So, all right, so let's start.
What do I have a name? Did he have a name, Stallone's character?
Yeah, Python.
Python.
That was his given name. Yeah,
Python. Okay.
Python McNamara.
Okay, so I'm Python McNamara.
Yeah.
And you're my son Ricky.
Yeah. Dad, Coach Dalrymple said I'm too small to play on the team.
Hey, well, I mean, well, you know, you gotta get your size. It's the tetherballs. That's a terrible Stallone. I don't know who.
No, I thought he was great. Hey, I thought it was him for a second.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's a tetherball. We gotta get you. It's about size, you know, and we could get you, but you might not have the size right now, Ricky, but you got one thing that those bigger kids are never going to have.
What's that, Dad?
You got heart. And if you're going to play tetherball, you can go as, you can be 10 feet tall as long as you got heart. You got to believe in yourself, Ricky.
No, this is like right out of the script. Did you read it? You didn't write it, did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't read that. I didn't recently reread the script for the unreleased Stallone tetherball movie, Whacking It.
God, you're so good. I want so badly for you to bring Grown Ups 3 to me. Please?
Mm-hmm. You know, look, I mean, I got to just say, like, personally, with all this stuff, looking back, I thought you moved because you were just embarrassed by, like, what you did back then.
No, I was a little embarrassed, but, you know, I'm a free spirit. And, you know, Tom, please don't blow this for me. I've finally gotten out of the third-tier executive ghetto and made my way into the big leagues, and now you're just pulling it all away. It's very unfair to me.
Well, what do you mean when you say executive ghetto? What does that mean?
Oh boy. Well, for most of the 2000s, I was an exec at several, let's be honest, C-grade studios.
Okay.
I was at Old Line, Werner Brothers, Warner Uncles. I don't know how they get away with having that name. It's really ballsy. Universe Studios. Where else? Sunny Pictures. Flying Horse with Wings Productions. 22nd Century Fox. I was at Columbian Pictures for a little bit. For a while there, I was in the features department at Shout After Dark, where I helmed all of those all the films in their Rear Widow franchise.
Please tell me you just mispronounced the word window, Jerry.
No, Tom, I sure didn't. I know. I was also in charge of Jerry and the Pacemakers, that PG-25 parody of that thing you do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell you, I worked day and night to get Tom Hanks to play the manager, but when he wouldn't, I worked my magic, and I got something even better.
What was that?
Eddie Trunk.
Better than Tom Hanks?
Yeah, oh, yeah. 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 Oh,
please tell me more about this.
Well, he was good. He showed up like I hoped he would. You know, he had his cargo shorts on and his UFO t-shirt. And he was good, but he kept wanting the on-set writer Jake Fugelmest to work into the script these new lines about how so many bands today play to tracks. Lines about him signing and subsequently texting with Ace Frehley every day, and how the new UFO album might be their best since Strangers in the Night. And mind you, this was all supposed to take place in a movie that's taking place in 1966. So there were a few hiccups with him.
Well, those are a couple discrepancies for him to say he's regularly texting with the guitarist who formerly from Kiss.
Who haven't formed yet.
What's that?
Who haven't even formed yet.
No, they had not formed yet. Phones, iPhones had not been invented.
Well, we could argue about that.
Okay.
Were they?
What's that?
I think they were around. I think I've seen pictures of this.
In 66?
I think so.
They were not around. Cell phones were not around in 1966, Jerry.
Okay, well, we can agree to disagree on that. I'm sure a lot of your listeners will back me up.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure I'm going to be wrong on this one. But
I don't. Could be.
I don't know. I'm weird like that. I'll just dig in on a thing that I'll be wrong about.
That's right.
Like a cell phone being around in 1966.
Mm-hmm. Like when you said in the cafeteria that day that macaroni and cheese that they were serving was the best you'd ever had, and it was really bad, but for some reason you got it in your head that you had to just buckle down and double down on this. And I remember you just kids just coming up for the entire 45 minutes of lunch period and just piling their macaroni and cheese on your plate, and you just devoured it, even though you secretly hated every bite. Am I right?
Yeah, you know, I was being a little, what would be the right word for how I was being? Proud, probably.
That's fair to say.
I let pride get in the way.
Sounds like a U2 song, doesn't it?
A U2, yeah. What would it be called? Pride eating that mac and cheese. Right?
I think that was the working title, but I think
mac and cheese. It'd be just like. Remember when he was like, all I got is this red guitar?
I do, yeah. Well, he's a bluesman.
He is a bluesman. And I think I'm glad he's finally being appreciated for being a bluesman. Because he had that red guitar, and he had three chords, and he had the truth.
He did.
And all I got is this red guitar. Three chords and the truth. Then remember what he said next? He was like, all I got is this red guitar. They said the rest is up to you.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I'm stealing it back from Charles Manson, because apparently Charles Manson owned that guitar first.
He really – I know that when he said they were taking Helter Skelter back,
mm-hmm.
the Manson started doing U2 songs in jail.
Is that right? I love to hear tapes. Do you have tapes? Have you got tapes?
I have, he actually did pop, a full front to back, cover of the album Pop.
Oh my God. Is Lemon on that?
Yes. Yes. The Edges hit song.
I'd love to hear him do Lemon. That'd be great.
Was it Numb? What was that song called? Remember when the Edge was just like,
I only know Lemon.
I love all the U2 stuff.
Yeah.
I really do. This Manson stuff is pretty good, though, of him doing all the U2 stuff as, like, him saying he was taking their catalog back. And then finally, they actually went and met with him in jail, and they both reached a truce.
They didn't jam, though. Did they give tapes? Did tapes?
They did jam. They did jam tape? At the prison.
Oh, man. I'd love to hear that.
Do you know what song they did?
I'm going to guess that B-side. What's it called? Trash Trampoline and the Party Girl? Has to be that, right?
No, you're never going to guess what they did. You're never going to guess. What year was it?
Yeah.
What year is the stuff from? It was somebody else's music entirely.
Ooh, okay. Was it wasn't like a Sonic Youth song, was it? Was it non-metal dude wearing metal tee?
No, it was a band from the 60s who changed their name in the 70s.
Oh, it's got to be Jefferson something, right?
Yeah, it was Jefferson Starship. They were jamming on different songs from Earth, the album Earth.
What's on Earth? I don't know that record.
What's on? Oh, Skateboard, Runaway, All Night Long, Count on Me, Take Your Time, Fire.
Those sound like the most generic titles I've ever heard.
Crazy Feeling.
I got a Love crazy too good. Feeling in this prison cell.
No, they jammed on that stuff. It turns out Manson and the guys from U2 are both fans of this late 70s Jefferson Starship album that
it's
has
so how
literally the most generic song titles imaginable.
Hmm. Well, I for one want to hear it. I really do.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, taking up where we left off, I know we had quite a tangent we went on that was very entertaining, for me at least.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for me also.
Oh, yeah. Well, I also worked at that weird children's network, Bratz. Did you ever see any of that stuff?
I've seen stuff on Bratz, and, you know, it's funny because I'm never sure if those shows are pro-child or anti-child. You
right?
know what I mean?
Absolutely. I couldn't tell either. You know, I wasn't there long, but I did work on shows like Intimidation Station, The Dumb Kid Who Couldn't Do Anything Right, and this weird show called Missy and Mrs. and Mr. Miscellaneous Are Missing in Mississippi. It was like a kid crime show. Very odd. And I was actually
Wait, what's the name of that show?
It was called Missy, M-I-S-S-Y.
Uh-huh.
And Mrs. and Mr. Miscellaneous Are Missing in Mississippi.
Wow. That's a mouthful.
Quite a title, right? And but I think of all the stuff I did, I was most proud of that because I stuck an F-bomb in there. It got in the script. A kid said the line, and it made it through everything, and it aired.
And that's
pretty
what you're
cool.
proud of.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right?
Sure. That's pretty cool. You slipped a curse into children's programming.
Yeah, it was the long F word too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But
you know. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. No, I'm listening, Jerry.
Well, I was going to say, I've been at New West Lions Gate for a couple years now, but I don't have anything to show for it. It's very frustrating. Mm-hmm. And I was banking everything on this Grown Ups 3 thing. And truthfully, I was hoping it was going to rehab my image here in Silver Lake.
Mm-hmm. Why? What happened in Silver Lake?
Well, I'm sure you saw that video that was making the rounds about a month ago. These neighborhood kids were playing basketball in the street, and then some jerk calls the cops on them for being a nuisance. And mm-hmm. this older cop shows up, and he ends up not only shooting hoops with these kids, but he gets his old college buddy Magic Johnson to come down and shoot hoops too. And Magic ends up giving each kid $100 if they promise to get A's. It's quite a story.
I did see that, and it's a great story. But what I'm not clear on is how this affects your reputation.
I was the guy who called the cops on them. Why?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know what was going on. I was feeling insecure that day. I was sad. I don't like people having fun if I'm not in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
So I just saw that and I thought, well, that's my, I gotta shut this down if I want to feel good about my day.
Sure. You needed no one else to be enjoying themselves.
Pretty much. That's pretty much what it is. Yeah.
For you to even have a shot at having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You're definitely not going to have a good time if someone's having fun.
But you
don't even know whether you will have a good time if they stop. But that's where the opportunity for you to have a good time starts.
Exactly, and I don't really put a ton of thought into it. I've gone into a Chuck E. Cheese at least 3 times. And just seemed in a bad mood, and I saw kids having a party, and I kicked the pizza off the table. I kicked it.
Uh-huh.
Why?
And did it put you in a good mood?
For about 18 seconds, and then everyone, once they picked their jaws up off the floor, they were furious. Kids, parents, employees. Yeah. They chased me for, I'm not lying, 3 miles.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. You know what, Tom?
What? What's that, Jerry?
It feels really good to have unburdened myself of a few of these things that I've been keeping secret.
Okay.
Like the Chuck E. Cheese thing and the... You know, some other things. So I feel kind of lighter. It's kind of nice. So I'd like to take it a step further, if I may.
Okay.
Tom, I was the Quint City Quacker.
Wait, you were the Quint City Quacker?
I was, yeah.
So you'd break into people's houses and quack while doing push-ups?
Yeah, yeah. That was me. And, I'll keep going. I was also the Newbridge Rusty Hatchet Killer.
No.
Uh-huh, yeah. And as a matter of fact, remember that wonderful Kevin Costner film, Mr. Brooks?
Oh, yeah.
It's a great film, right?
It is, yeah.
Well, that story was based on me and my dad.
That movie... Yes. I thought that was the most fictional thing I've ever seen in my life.
Right?
That's insane.
As Bad Religion said for the very first time it was ever said, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction.
Wow, those are some pretty true words.
Yes, and to this day, nobody knows I did those crimes or that my dad was the Tribridge Exsanguinator. I guess the old apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right?
Well, I guess not. I guess not.
Yep.
Yeah. It's funny how that works, huh?
It is. Oh, wait, what?
Hey, what is that? What's going on there?
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Jerry, what's up?
Oh, no. Oh.
What?
Yes. Somehow the police were already in my house. Oh, I'm getting cuffed. Oh. That's weird on its own, but I don't see why they felt the need to bring a siren inside. Weird call, right?
To have to be cranking a siren in your home?
Yeah,
yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. Guys, not so tight. Oh, jeez. Oh. Well, you know, I'm glad we got to clear the air, you know, and it... Looks like I'm probably no longer employed, nor employable for the next, I don't know, 475 years. So I will just bid you adieu, okay? And as our president said to the Prime Minister of India yesterday, namaste. And if I could ask one final favor of you, Tom.
What's that, Jerry?
Well, I'm going to ask them to put the best show on the radio in the cruiser on the way to the Butt Hut. So could you please play Love Plus One for me? I'd love for that to be the final thing I hear as a civilian. Please?
I'll see if I can get to it.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, you always were my best friend in high school.
Well, I'm glad I could be there for
you. And I was your best friend.
Thanks for it's good to hear from everything with you, Jerry. I'm a little troubled by some of the news.
And I was your best friend, right?
Yeah, I'm sure we'll meet up. Look, you were a friend. You were definitely a friend.
Oh man.
What?
Namaste.
Namaste? Okay. Well, I mean, I can try with. Hello? Hello? Oh, he's gone. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, so, man, I went and, went and saw what was I talking about? I was talking about MacMillions. Are you watching MacMillions, Mike?
Yeah, I am. I missed yesterday's episode, though. I haven't watched it yet.
It's this home box office docu-series about people who they play the McDonald's game. They play the McDonald's game Monopoly. And then these characters found out a way to steal the game pieces. And it's kind of breaking the whole mystery of the thing down. It's six parts, which is great because that's it feels like there actually is that much story to tell. Weirdly enough, you'd think you hear a thing about six hours of stealing McDonald's game pieces. That sounds like a bit much, huh? But it's not, is it?
But the weird thing about that show,
yeah, what's that?
Is that whole thing is taking place right around 9/11.
Yeah.
So these guys are working that case while, you know, the whole world is just sort of come apart, and they're still beating the trail on who's cheating the McMillions.
Yeah, because they were. It was like, I don't know how it plays out yet because I have not seen all of MacMillions, but it plays out that it's like a guy was in on the security side of things and he was involved with a mobbed up fella. And then there was the wife of the mobbed up fella. Well, first of all, there's the one guy, his brother, who is always just going like, you know, my brother, he was like, he wasn't like a mafia character. He was like not from, he was like Al Capone crossed with Ronnie Dangerfield. And he like, as if we're supposed to be yucking it up over this guy who was, it's funny for him, it was your brother.
Yeah, and what is the big reveal going to be on the brother? Either he's in jail or he got a bullet in the head, right?
Mike, I don't know.
I mean, you're curious, though, right? Because he's...
Oh, I'm curious. He's totally. Yeah, absolutely.
Conspicuously absent from the proceedings so far.
Yeah. All I'll say is there'd be points when they would just be like, yeah, we got, you know, here's a picture of him when he was 25. You're like, 25? God, looks like he's double that.
A hard 25.
Hard 25. I'll say this, though. You know what this whole show has accomplished for me, Mike?
What's that?
Makes me want McDonald's food.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. It's not too subtle product placement, right? The whole series.
But it's not like they're getting money from McDonald's for it.
No.
They're just using the imagery over and over.
Yeah, 6 hours. A 6 hour commercial. Genius.
So I watched this thing. And I'm always like, man, I could go for a fish sandwich.
Yeah.
Like I see the, meanwhile, they're talking about how it's all wrong and we got to fight this and push back and blah, blah, blah. and say and stop the game pieces from getting stolen. Meanwhile, I'm just like, I'm literally on my phone Googling Shamrock Shakes, finding out if they're available yet. And get this, I never had one in my entire life. I watched this documentary. Suddenly, I'm like, boy, I wonder if I never had a Shamrock Shake. I wonder what that's like. Then I go, I find that they're available. So I go get one. Yeah, it's disgusting. It was not good. It tasted just like chemicals.
How was the fish sandwich?
No, it's the best.
Yeah.
It's always the best.
Yeah. The quarter pounder's been improved.
Has it?
Yeah, they use fresh beef now. That's the only burger where it's like fresh beef. The other stuff is frozen.
Everything else is frozen?
Yeah. But sometimes you have to wait long for it, though.
You have to wait for the fillet of fish. I mean, the quarter pounder.
Yeah, it's whatever the process is, it's a little longer.
Well, Mike, where do you have to be? You can't hang out 2 minutes for them to heat you up a quarter pounder?
Yeah.
No?
Are you a drive-thru guy?
Yeah, I'll do both.
Yeah, you do both.
I'll do both.
Yeah.
Why?
No, I mean, there's this one guy, I don't know if he's like effing with me or I go up to get a quarter pounder with cheese. And then he'll say, you mean you want cheese with the quarter pounder? Like I'm saying it wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, and he has to correct me every time. I thought it was like a one-time peccadillo.
Yeah.
But he does it every time. And I'm saying it exactly as it's written on the board. Mm-hmm. And then he turns it around on me.
Saying what?
Like, I'll say, can I have the quarter pounder with cheese? Mm-hmm. And he'll say, you mean you want cheese with the quarter pounder?
Oh, I hate this guy.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know if he's messing with
me. This is the Bayonne Burger King?
No, this is down in my hometown.
Oh.
Bayonne Burger King. And first of all, Burger King, come on. You can leave now.
No, you come on.
Yeah, people swear by the grilled burger.
Oh, no, it's great. Burger King's great if you like wet food.
Listen.
Everything's a little wet.
Pat's
going to
defend
King.
Burger King.
Yeah, Pat's taking his jacket off.
Listen.
It's just a little wet.
He likes
the
his long chicken.
A little wet at Burger King.
Well, some people like it wet.
Some like it wet, and some like when the food is soaked.
I'm talking about one. The only chicken sandwich that matters is the long chicken.
I disagree.
The original chicken sandwich, a.k.a. the long chicken.
Oh, that's not around anymore.
That was the Clash. The only chicken sandwich that matters.
Yeah. But now it's BK, baby.
They got rid of that long chicken sandwich, I think.
No, I had two last week when I was lonely and sad.
I had two last week
when he was
lonely and sad.
Yeah.
I thought they got the
You didn't need to say the when I was lonely and sad.
You're right. You're right, but I'm giving you context.
No,
I'm giving you
no.
The full picture.
The context is that you went to Burger King.
Yeah.
Something brought you there.
Well, I'll tell you what brought me there. A rough week.
Nobody goes there when they're winning.
No.
Here's my thing. You guys know me pretty well here. Yeah. I don't drink. And my equivalent of reaching a point in a week where I need a stiff drink is going to Burger
King.
Too
long chicken.
Going to Burger King and eating two long chicken sandwiches and going home and watching Breaking
Bad. Do you pull up a stool to the counter at Burger King?
No, I took it to go.
You took it to go?
Yeah, the one by the Holland Tunnels. 24 hours. So I just bring, you can only get it to
it's
go.
Not as fun as the one at 440. Though.
I got a large fry, two long chickens.
Just one giant fry?
Yeah, it's delicious. No, I got
a sleeve.
Tom, I got an order of fries.
Not like a giant Toblerone sized fry.
I mean, I would eat it.
I would eat that.
Yeah. That would be a long fry with a long chicken.
I would eat that. Way to the game. That's the game right there.
No, that was me being real.
No, right now the game is everybody but Mike. Studio sides with Pat over the thing. Now Mike's on the outside looking in. then it'll shift. Well, look, it has been a rough week.
Yeah.
Bad week. The guy who is a friend of yours, Pat and Jason, I'm assuming, I'm not sure. Steve Whalen passed away.
Yeah.
Yes.
Horrible. He was a big part of the, Brett Davis, the special without Brett Davis.
He was the heart and soul of that show. He was, I think he did more episodes than Brett because he had, because Brett couldn't be at the show every week. But Steve was the announcer and so much more. He was, just such a crucial figure in the New York alt comedy scene, and he was just completely himself. He, you know, carried, just so many spirits up all the time, and I never saw him in a bad mood. I never saw him bitter or angry. I just always saw him positively going for it, yeah, doing his craft and loving every second of it, regardless of whether anyone else was liking it. And I love that about him too. And yeah, he was just pure force of fun and funny, and you know, he was embraced by all the entire alt community and beyond. Mm-hmm. You know, he was always at open mics. He was always at bar shows. He was the guy that would stay late, and if you booked him on a show, he was the first one there. He was the last to leave. He would mm-hmm. see who needed a ride to the train. He would then go home and write jokes on Facebook Live, and then post the best one on Instagram before he went to bed, and then wake up and do it again. And mm-hmm. Steve Whalen was an incredible, incredible guy. It's a shock. I think a lot of the people in the community, and Brett kind of, you know, curated a lot of that. And I know him through Brett, and I thank Brett
yeah.
for that, because I can honestly say knowing that guy made my life better.
Well, that's fantastic. And look, I did not know him outside of saying hi to him at stuff, yeah. but, a lot of people who I know and care a lot about, he meant the world to. So I feel, a sympathy and I grieve, for them, the friends, as much as for, you know, for his family, obviously, and his friends.
Thank you,
too. Because yeah, he clearly was somebody who meant a lot to a lot of people, so.
I'm kind of in the same boat as you, Tom. I did a few shows with them.
Same boat. Here it goes.
No, I'm just saying that like, not playing the game.
I'm kidding.
I'm just saying, you know, I met him a few times, but every time I was around him, he had just the best energy. Mm-hmm. Like, you wanted to talk to the guy more. Yeah. And it was.
Sure.
Yeah, he just lit up a room. I think the last time I saw him, he was at the Bell House Grown Ups 3 show.
Yeah,
I remember seeing him in the crowd.
Yeah, Tom. Oh, he was there, yeah. Tom, he came to the New York show. That was the last night I saw him. He told me, we had a good conversation. He said he was working on his album, his first comedy album, and that it was coming out soon. And I couldn't believe what he was telling me. He said he had recorded like every performance he ever did, whether it was an open mic, a bar show, a booked show, and he was just curling through 6 years of recordings to make this compilation, this like basically archive of his life's work. And he did it. He put it out. And then, you know,
it's ridiculous.
Unfortunately, it passed away. But like, this thing is out, and yeah. it's called I Love This Crowd, Steve Whalen. I'll tweet out a link to it. He also was famous for selling merch of his catchphrases and things like that. And he also set that up so that merch will be available till the end of time. He set it up on a TeePublic, I think, one of those websites.
Yeah.
So even after his life, we'll be able to get this merch, and his album's out there. It's streaming, he was younger than me. He's 33. It's horrible what happened, but I mean, I'm so grateful that he got this work done, and we should all be so lucky in our lives to just have a big accomplishment like that done. And so
yeah,
I'm very grateful for that.
It's a gift. You're alive, and it's a gift. And if you got stuff you want to do, you got to start doing it, man. You got to get in there. Start doing your thing. It's time. I got stuff I want to do. You don't think I feel like trash when I see the way I'm all watching a Mac Millions? Sitting there, all I can think about is a Shamrock Shake. You don't think that's makes me feel, but you know what? Uh-huh. I got stuff to do. You got stuff to do, Pat. You got to do it while you're still here. Don't shrink from the moment, everyone. Don't shrink from the moment. Your life's a gift. You gotta do it. You gotta go where you gotta go, and you gotta do what you gotta do, like the mamas and the papas said. Remember that, Mike?
I don't remember that particular song.
Of course you don't.
Monday.
The game. This is a game. Guy undercuts my touching speech.
Someone pointed out last week, too.
I couldn't just go, yeah. Yeah, I know that song.
When we were talking Crosby,
Monday.
And Nash, when I said Mama Cass, I mistakenly said Mommy Cass.
Mommy Cass.
Yes. Well, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
I think it is, too. I went back and listened.
Mommy Cass.
And I did say Mommy Cass. So, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of songs say mama and everything. Not a lot of songs say dada. Right? But, Pat, I, you know, obviously you knew the guy well, Steve well, and Mr. Jokes. So,
yeah,
to you and to all the people who also knew him well and loved him,
I'm really,
you know, of course I offer
thank you
my condolences and my sympathies.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you reaching out. I mean, it's crazy that all of us here knew him, too. I mean, even Mike worked with him on the special. And
yeah, I met him a couple times, you know, like Tom. I didn't know him well, somebody posted a picture. I guess the last time I did the show, I had a shirt for him. So I got him to wear the Masters shirt. And with the blazer combo, you know, you get that extra laugh, you know, when it looks like it.
Yeah.
The shirt says Ass Tavern, you know.
I love it. Guy manages to slip in a plug for his store during a eulogy.
I didn't say it, though.
Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm sure they would. I'm sure he would have wanted it that way, Mike.
And I'm out of shirts, pretty much.
God bless you, Mike. You giving any thought to the new merch?
Yeah. No. Actually. Yeah. Thanks, Tom. You know what? I don't know if you've seen any.
You said that. Like, thanks. Thanks for queuing me up, Tom.
I had it a mental note to mention it. Have you seen? I mean, your idea has really taken off. The Warhol. Headshot idea?
Yeah, no, I saw some of the color combinations.
Yeah, no, so a lot of the creative people out there have been sending me stuff. Some people have posted it, but it's all great stuff. So I'm announcing tonight that this will be the new calendar. So anybody who wants to, you know, send me some art that they want to do for a calendar. It could be the headshot in any sort of artistic rendering. Doesn't have to be Warhol, but, you know, if you want to stick with that theme.
So what you're saying is you're the next AP Mike calendar is going to be people defacing your headshots?
Pretty much, yeah. Because I've had it with that headshot. You know, I can barely look at it. I mean, but, you know, it seems to have inspired some of the artists out there. And
I love this now. This is the part. This is where it gets. Are we going to do more headshots? So that
that's the other thing. I mean, the headshot I had to buy some markers. You know, I've been sort of doing some test prototypes of how I can mark it up literally myself with the headshots that I have left. But the Michaels and Bayonne didn't have a lot of variety as far as markers. So I've got to get the right markers, and then I'll be able to do a Warhol version. I don't know
if
you saw.
It's a plug-in for Michaels.
Yeah.
He gets a plug-in for apmike.bandcamp.com, gets Michaels in there. All spots. Now, you know he'll go in there. You know what that means now? He goes to Michaels. They probably let him use the bathroom.
Well, no, they let me down. They didn't. I need the thick markers. The
you
thick...
heard I mentioned Michaels on the show. I mentioned the Bayonne Michaels.
You didn't mention Bleepin' Panda Express? Couldn't get that into your...
Not yet. But they're right there, yeah. Do they go together, those two chains?
Yeah, they do. That's when you know. That's when you know you're living of the wrong life. If you go to Michael's and Panda Express in the same day, you did something wrong.
Oh, I know that. I know that area. But that's a good Panda Express.
I haven't been in there yet.
That's a good Panda Express. Yeah, as opposed to. Yeah, that one. That Panda Express is just a little bit better than the other ones.
Oh, it's cleaner. It's newer. I've been in some really rough Panda Expresses.
I've been. So anyway, you go to
I'm just getting under your skin tonight.
Yeah. He'll be selling these dumb headshots again, I'm sure. And now there's a thing where you get to deface them, and then submit them as possible art for the next AP Mike calendar.
Yeah,
this is 2021 calendar,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go. That's what people got to look forward to.
That's
right. 2021. Donald Trump will be president again, but you'll be there through my calendar.
Actually, that's an idea. I should just put in what Donald Trump is going to do in 2021, right?
Do you think there's any chance you'll do some writing on the little descriptions for the dates?
He said that that's a possibility. I could do that.
You should. You should you're just like, AP Mike's birthday, just put the different events on different dates.
Yeah.
I think would be a lot of fun.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right? And you can put like some creepy ones there too, right?
No, I'm not going to do that. Family friendly.
Family friendly. Yeah, that's the brand. why don't you give me a call, please?
Coming up, we're going to give you line... I'm going to put you on with the person who's been on the longest. This is line 4.
All right, line 4, because we're doing Yeah, I'm Out tonight. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. This is Kat from Raleigh.
Kat from Raleigh. How are you, Kat from Raleigh?
Well, I've been doing a whole lot better this year than last year. Last year kind of sucked for me, and I think it's starting to turn around.
I'm glad to hear it. The stuff's swinging in the different direction for you.
Yeah.
Good. That's good. You take it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to, like just take it easy, and I'm starting here because, I mean, I was on hold for a while, but usually when I'm on hold for a while, my irritation dissipates once I get on, and then when I, like, listen to the show the day after, it's like, I was too impatient to appreciate this.
Well, you're here now. I'm here now. You're on. We did it.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the other side of it. To what do I owe the pleasure of this call, Kat?
Well, I've got one for the topic, but it's one I'm not very proud of, and I want to see if you can actually change my mind on it.
Oh no. Okay. Let's hear it.
I just can't. I can't, like, vibe with Dan Beharless new pornographers.
You can't vibe with the new pornographers without Dan Behar.
Yeah, because, I mean, I haven't listened to their latest album, but, I mean, I was listening to Whiteout Conditions, and I was just like, come on, this has got to be a dance song, right? 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 And it never came. And, I mean... I actually liked the new pornographers before I liked Destroyer, but it's like, Dan gave him that spice. Without him, it's kind of sickly sweet. And I guess they were my jumping off point for just getting into Destroyer. And I still liked the new pornographers when he was with them. It's just that I grew to like Destroyer more and more and more. And now he's my favorite, still my favorite person making music today.
Well, what if you did this, Kat?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna blow your mind right now. You take the new
New Pornographer's album, right?
Mm-hmm.
You take that album, and you take the new Destroyer album, right?
Yeah.
Here's what you do. Get ready for this. Oh, you're not going to be able to handle this when you hear it. You take three songs off the Destroyer album. Just drop them right in the middle. Scatter them through. Scatter them through the album. Make like he's still in the band.
I can't fool myself that well.
But it's what they would have done if he was doing it. Those songs, three of those would have been on the record.
I guess it's just that, like, since the New Pornographer got me into Destroyer, I was just always finding, like, I never disliked the other songs, but it's like I always just wanted more Dan.
But what if you just put a television music supervisor into the middle of the New Pornographer's album? I think you can figure this out. I think there's something there. If you make it the way you want to hear it.
I just wish he would come back to the fold. Because like it has a different feel. It's more straightforward and it's more poppy, but I like him on that sound.
Well, Kat, I don't know what to tell you. You get two albums for the price of one now. I saw Destroyer the other night. It was the greatest.
I'm seeing him in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I saw him. He was great.
Yeah, I've seen him every time he's come to North Carolina since I moved here, except I keep getting annoyed and ticked off that he always cuts off the end of Rubies when he's played it, and it's like, dude, that's like you cut off one of my favorite lyrics of all time ever. It's like, don't leave me hanging like this.
Wow. That's a part of the thing. He's got you hooked. You know what song he did when I saw him? He said, like you, I've been all over the world. I've seen Bangkok. He did that song. That was great.
Mm.
He did all the hits.
Mm. I think maybe I just tend to be a little particular in my Destroyer taste, but I guess what I was going to say was that I can never, I guess, like, begrudge him, because the first time I saw Destroyer, he played Shooting Rockets, which is my favorite song of his, and I was so, like, gobsmacked that I made, like, this sound like a dying horse, and his guitarist saw me and snickered.
You can't mention a sound like a dying horse and then not try it right now.
Okay, if you must.
Oh, my God. Wait, is there a dying horse over there?
But, yes, I na-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da,
right? All good things must come to an end. The bad ones, they go on forever.
Isn't that what I just said? It is now and it is never. My imitation isn't quite as good.
He's the best. You're going to have a great time at the show. And I'm going to tell you, Kat, I think you can slap a couple of those new songs, those Destroyer songs, into the New Pornographer's album, and you'll know what it would feel like. Just people did it with like Beatles things from they'll go like from 1971, and they'll be like, I'll assemble a Beatles album that would have come out. And it's a pretty sweet album.
Seems though, like, I did want to mention one last thing before I go.
What's that now?
When I was thinking about great shows, it's been 4 years ago this week was when I saw you and John in Durham.
That's right.
I just am dying to know, are you going to do anything for 20 years of Best Show?
Never, never. It's not happening. No, we'll do more stuff. We're going to do more stuff. Don't worry. We'll be back.
I'll hold you to that.
Yeah, you can. We'll be back.
Yeah. I just thought it'd be nice to, like, do something this year to mark 20.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know what, Kat? We're going to be back.
Okay. That's all I need to know.
All right. You have a great night, and thank you for calling.
No problem. You too.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
I got to get on this. First of all, again, no one ain't throwing me no Mac Millions game pieces. Nobody ain't throwing me in movies. Like, because, like, this thing, I'm this topic of the idea, like, yeah, I'm done or I'm out, whatever it was. What was it called? Yeah, I'm out. Like, this Wes Anderson, right? This guy. He makes these movies. And, look, I got my fill. I'm not going to put the guy's movies down. You still dig him? God bless you. You enjoy it all the live long day. You party down with your Wes Anderson movie all the time. For me, I'm a little tired of feeling like it's everything's in an overgrown dollhouse. And everything is done like it's a UN, like it's a nations, what that, the thing you do at school that they didn't actually do in anyone's school ever. They only do it in like TV shows. Mm-hmm. Well, you know the thing I'm talking about, Mike? Like world nation. Yeah. You know where everybody's like, I'm from Switzerland.
Yeah. Very whimsical.
What do you call that?
Whimsy?
No. What did you call that activity in school?
In Virginia, we had the Model General Assembly.
The Model UN is what it was called, or whatever. Well, down there in West Virginia, when you did it, that was different down there.
We're not part of the UN.
Hey, man. I'm from Sweden, man. You look here, man. I'm talking now. I'm the Prime Minister of Sweden. I'm just going to tell you all how it is. That bring back memories?
I'm kind of shocked. Yeah.
No, but his movies, it's like, look, I get a little bit of a headache now. Everybody's in a costume running around pretending it's, you know, they're in France in the 40s or whatever. I don't know what's going on. They got to run around with little miniature sandwiches on little plates that they shoot from right above. I got to watch somebody cut a peanut butter sandwich from an overhead angle with a fancy tablecloth. I just saw enough of it. I get it. I'm out. Mm-hmm. I'm out on his movies.
Yeah.
I get it. God bless him. I end up liking guys like they change every time. Mm-hmm. Your destroyers, your Joni Mitchells, or they change the game. Your Neil Youngs, they mix it up on you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Ramones. They got out of the biz with them. How many times are they gonna make the same album again? They made 4 perfect albums, and they're like, well, we're making more. They're less perfect, but they sound like the perfect ones. Make a new thing, baby. Give us something new.
Yeah, they should.
You with me, Mike?
Yeah, they should have did a standards album at some point.
The Ramones?
Yeah.
Well, they actually did.
Did they?
Well, they did Acid Eaters, which
was like a cover album.
A bunch of 60s songs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But you mean like a Rod Stewart Great American Songbook.
Yeah, the Great American Songbook.
Yeah.
That's why I'm out with Bob Dylan temporarily. You know, he went on that track, and I'm like, enough with that already.
Yeah.
You know, come on.
This guy's doing these things. I got to listen to Bob Dylan do Camptown Races or whatever he's doing on these things.
I think he missed that. He missed that song, but he's got every other one.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Hey, it's Bob Dylan, but he's singing Frank Sinatra. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah.
You ever wanted to hear that? No, not even close.
No.
Oh, I can live without it. So look, when these people are doing, and look, who am I to talk? Who am I to talk? I've been blabbing here for decades now. And I got people always say to me, I'm done, Tom, I'm done. I get it. You suck now. You don't think I hear that? You don't think I hear you suck now? You know what? I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't. I'm bringing it. Does it change shape? Yeah, it does. It changes shape.
the show become different each time? Yeah, it is. You'd almost think I was documenting an entire life and that this thing's not going to be the most impressive thing ever heard when I finally move on to the next plane, higher or lower, God willing. I don't end up in hell. If I end up in hell, oh my God.
Describe it for us, Tom. What would hell be like for you?
Well,
paint us a picture.
Yeah, I'm about to, okay? This is, I'm going to close my eyes and just describe my version of what hell looks like.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm just seeing seeing what's actually is now. Mm. I see boxes filled with AP Mike calendars that somehow I bought. I see me being surrounded by everybody sad. That'd be hell to me. Oh, I see me sitting in a chair filming cameo videos for $30 a pop in front of AP Mike's calendars. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the cameo right now. There's some definite price discrepancies going on here. Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray, $125.
Wow. Wow.
Right?
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
2 minutes? Wait, I mean, did they have a time limit?
It's not even that.
Gary Busey, $350.
Wow. That's crazy.
But then you scroll down. There's some bargains on here. Tim Hardaway, NBA All-Star, $50.
Yeah. He's not going to gouge his people.
Cedric the Entertainer, $100.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Gary Busey's $350. Cedric the Entertainer is an active, popular artist right now. $100.
Yeah.
Really got to need that money, Cedric?
Yeah.
Corey Feldman, $202. Paula Deen, $100. $100 for Paula Deen. Probably cost more for her to not to say hate speech. Yeah, it's $100. It's $100 or $150 without the hate speech. Tommy Chong, $150. You'll never guess what he's doing in the photo. You'll never guess. Mike, I could give you 10 years of guessing round the clock. You'll never guess.
Sipping a tea?
No. Dudio, what do you think he's doing?
He's holding an oversized joint.
Well, he's not holding an oversized joint. He's just taking a hit off of, oh, look, it looks like a pipe.
Hey, man. Hey, man, it's Billy's birthday, man. I want to say happy birthday, Billy. Everybody's so proud of you, man, for going to school and graduating, Billy. Happy birthday, Billy. Congratulations, man.
Now, Mike, why are you not doing this?
To me, it's just like, it's low. It's the lowest to me.
You know, it's the low.
You know,
Mike,
I'll do it.
Paul Rubens, yeah. Pee Wee Herman is on this thing. How much you think he's charging?
Oh, I saw somebody got Therese a Pee Wee Herman greeting.
Yeah, well, they paid $250.
Ooh, yeah.
Lou Ferrigno, $150. Johnny Damon, $100. How much money does Johnny Damon need?
Mm.
A baseball player.
Yeah.
$100. Still gotta get your hand. Gotta get your mitts on any more money. God forbid anybody leave any money on the table. Sean Spicer.
Oh God.
Dog. He gets $200.
$200. Outrageous.
Yeah. Dog the Bounty Hunter. $150. Mike.
Yeah.
No, Loretta Swit. is bringing in $125 a pop, Mike.
That's just sad that she's got to resort to that.
You don't want a piece of this, Mike?
No. It's too low for me, Tom. It's too low.
Troy Aikman's doing it.
When I send out these headshots, I run away from the post office. I feel like I'm ripping the people off.
All right, take it easy. You're doing great. Enes Kanter, NBA All-Star, $50. He's not an All-Star. Enes Kanter, $50. That's like him just doing a service for the fans then. He's saying, yeah, that's an entry price. I'll just do it so I can do it for you. I can't charge less. He's charging $50. Meanwhile, the guy from Kevin from The Office, $175.
Wow.
Hey, everybody. I just want to say congratulations on graduating to my friend Adam. Congratulations. You are all proud of you.
Ray Lewis.
$300. Oh, my God.
Kevin Pollak, $225. Wonder if he does it in...
Excuse me, miss. I was just found out that it's Carla's birthday. So, hey, it's me, Kevin Pollak. Actually, I'm doing my character's... Look, it's me, Christopher Walken. And I want to say happy birthday, Carla, to the...
Is our boy Kevin Smith on there?
There is no way he's not on here. Yeah. John Ratzenberger's on here.
You think Kevin Cliff. Smith's going to visit Harvey in jail?
No, I don't. Mike, I don't.
Slip him a shiv?
Slip him a shiv. All right, I'm looking right now. I got to see. Let's see. Kevin Smith cameo. You know, only thing that comes up, so far what comes up is this guy, all the dumb cameos he's done in movies. I guess he didn't do a cameo. He's not available on Cameo, Mike.
Showing some restraint.
Yeah. Yeah. He's showing restraint. The guy who played the dinner cook in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie 10 years ago. Give me a call, please.
Right up. Hold on 1 second. You're going to line.
And I got a listener. Some listener blasted me on Twitter. Not even blasted. He's a nice guy. Or lady. I'm not sure. Ladies can hate me too. And said that the show, where was it again? Said the show, here it is. Hey, Tom. I just passed it. It said the show sucks now. Here it is. We need more caller interaction on the best show. It's become too self-indulgent of late. Please return to the format we all love. All right. Let's take some calls then. Help you anonymous weirdo with your circle, zero followers, and you're following six people. You're following me, though. I'll give it to you. And you know what? I'll follow you. How about that, buddy?
Is he following me? I say no.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's following you, me. Oh, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Me, best show, AP Mike, Brett Davis, Worcester, and then some gaming thing. No Dudio.
No Pat.
No Pat, no Dudio. They warm up to you guys.
Message received.
Best show. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, to whom am I speaking?
This is William from Illinois.
William from Illinois. What's going on tonight, William?
Nothing much. Just hanging around. Just constructing my best of the year ballot for movies.
Best of the year ballot. What's leading the pack now on your best of the year ballot?
I mean, number one with a bullet is Uncut Gems. No pun intended.
Yeah, man. Uncut Gems. Rocking and rolling. Uncut Gems. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. You know, I saw that movie. And then they told me, you know, we were watching you watch it. And then they sent me a picture of, like a security camera picture of them watching me watch it. Creeped me out a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it though. What else is on your list?
Second is a new one, Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Ooh, I want to see that.
Yeah, it's really good. Like probably, if not for Uncut Gems, the best ending of the year.
Do they kill a historical figure that didn't die in that moment?
Yes, they kill Vivaldi.
We're going to kill bleeping Vivaldi. Right? It's like,
yeah.
And then suddenly kicks into a, right? What song would you hear then? You hear like a grassroots song, right? In my midnight confessions, gonna tell the world that I love you.
You know, I don't know why they didn't have the security camera and Jackie Brown would have disproved the whole thing. They had a security camera in the clothing in the shopping mall.
Logic police. Meanwhile, nothing makes less sense than this guy selling these headshots for $10 a pop. You don't question that. You notice he doesn't get it too heavy on the logic then.
It's true.
Mike?
It's true.
Mike, we do another wave of these headshots. Yeah. And people can deface them. Uh-huh. Or what about this? Mike, I just figured an angle out. Uh-huh. Only headshots you'll consider for the calendar have a little stamp in the corner. New ones. You make new headshots. None of the existing ones are eligible. Uh-huh. Everyone's got to buy a new headshot if they want to contend for this.
No, I don't want to go down that.
No, way. It's got to say for calendar use only in the corner.
No, I figured
eligible for calendar publication.
No, I'm not gonna gouge him like that. I have my limit.
You really wouldn't do cameo? Let's practice a cameo now, Mike.
No.
No, let's just try. I just wanted you to try it on for size.
Okay.
So give
me a setup.
Okay. My name is Herbie, right? Yeah. My name is Herbie, and I just sold my used car, and I'm pretty excited about that. No. I graduated from high school, and my family bought this for me, and they're all proud of me. Go.
Congratulations, Herbie. I heard you just graduated from high school. Good for you. The world is your oyster, man. Go grab it. Slurp it down.
Mike, I'm
chug
telling
a
you
beer.
This.
Chug Mike, a beer. Chug a beer.
Mike, I'm going to stop you right now. You're doing this. That is one of the best things I've ever heard. There is no way you can't. Mike, David Koechner is doing them.
I don't even know who is
David Koechner. This is a working actor. This guy's turning work down left and right. Uh-huh. You can still pay $200 and get him to do one.
Yeah.
Chuck Liddell is doing them. $125.
I could do this on my phone, you think?
Yeah, that's how
of
you
course.
Would do it.
Yeah.
Norm MacDonald does them, Mike. Joey Fatone.
Yeah, I mean,
you could easily do 50.
Set my price, Tom. This way, you know, it's not...
$50.
$50?
Yeah.
$50.
All right. I'll look into it.
Mike, Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens is doing it?
$250.
Wow.
Montez from Workaholics. It's $100. George Hamilton is $200. I think this is going to elevate your status, Mike, that you're on this thing.
Yeah.
There's some real people. Vince Carter. This is like a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
NBA Hall of Famer, $300. He's still not leaving that $300 on the table.
Mike, why don't you try it? Bring your phone here, and we'll help you do it.
All right.
Do the first batch, like before a show.
All right.
How much is Norm MacDonald?
$375.
Wow.
A little steep.
God. You know where that money's going.
Right to the casino.
Right to the craps table.
John Ratzenberger from Cheers, $120. I'm telling you, Mike. $59.
Well, I am going to be 59 this year, so yeah, that makes sense, right?
So there you go, 59 for 59. Jose Canseco's 150, Mike.
Uh-huh. Jose.
All right. I'm telling you, Mike, you're going to clean up.
Kristen got me one when I did Midlife Crisis the first time.
Uh-huh.
She got me one from Chris Kattan.
Right, I saw that. Yeah. I've seen a couple.
That's exciting.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was very nice.
Yeah. Billy Zane, $500.
500?
Whoa.
Here's a crazy thing. Jim Brown, Hall of Fame football player Jim Brown, $320. Billy Zane, $500.
Yeah, I think Jim Brown's number was 32, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so there's a little logic there.
And else he ain't charging $32. I would be in it. I would ask him. I would want him to say something about Mars Attacks, the movie he was in. I would want nothing about his football career. Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters. $135. Welcome to the best show. Caller. Hello. Mm-hmm. Caller.
Yes.
What's up?
How's it going, Tom?
It's going good. Would you buy a cameo from AP Mike?
Absolutely, yeah. No question about it.
I'm telling you, Mike's going to do this. He's going to make so much money doing it. And you know what he's also going to do?
What?
Not going to look back.
Oh, never. No.
Yeah.
I don't think that exists in his worldview.
Don't look back. Bob Dylan looked back more than AP Mike looks back.
Absolutely.
He's got everything he needs. He's AP Mike. He don't look back. Right? He's up on Cameo. He's AP Mike. He don't look back.
Fantastic. Absolutely. Well,
tell me about what's going on, buddy. What, you got something for Yammed Out?
No, I don't have something for the topic, but I'm a first time, long time, and I'm just calling because I was just wanting to give props to the FOT community. You know, I've had some rough stuff going on the last few months, and they're just, you know, we talk about fandoms and this and that, and honestly, the best show community is just so supportive and kind, and you know, I just wanted to give a shout out to everyone that's been you know, super cool and helpful, and
I'm glad. I'm glad you feel that way, and I'm glad that's what you feel, because it's true. That's exciting.
It really is. It really is, and.
Mike.
I'm sorry.
Mike, you can do the, hold on 1 second, call. Mike, you can do, what about this? I'll let you do your stupid, videos from the, from the best show chair, from my chair in the studio.
Oh, wow, that'd be great. Yeah. It'll look okay. Real professional. Yeah.
Yeah. Frame it up nice.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm, you know, you've got me thinking, and I think there are ways to make it more creative than the standard, you know, in and out that you see some of these cameos. Somebody posted, what's the guy, from Motley Crue? He
He's Vince doing... Neil. Yeah, it's it looks as cheap as can be.
Yeah.
Looks like he's in an elevator.
Yeah, and he was drunk, I think, and he's drunk in one of the episodes. I'm like, really? Yeah. You know, it's like...
Nice sucks.
Yeah.
Disrespect. But I'm going to say this to you, Mike.
Yeah.
You go, you do these things, you make them classy. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to love it.
All right.
And then you're going to be rolling in it. You're going to be rolling in cash, Mike. I also want to say, and we're doing the show tonight from Forever Dog. Amazing Forever Dog.
Good, yeah,
good guys. Good guys.
I was wondering, because I wanted to give a shout out to the producer, Devin, over at Earwolf. I know he... I was online with him the last couple of days, seeing him online, and he had a beautiful kitty that he lost, and so I didn't know where the show was coming out of tonight.
Yeah, no, you're right, Devin. I was gonna write him. Now you make me look like a bum.
Wow,
yeah. Make me look like a bum. I was gonna write him and tell him his cat passed away. It's very sad. So send my condolences to Devin, who's a sweet guy, and yeah. Sorry to hear about that.
Yeah. Back to the
well, all right, buddy. Community. Thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom. You have a great night, man.
You have a great night too. The call. It was not that guy. The frequency of that. It was like talking to a tin can. No, but we're over at Forever Dog. Brett is holding it down tonight. Here, Brett. Good guy. Good guy. Tell you, Forever Dog, they're moving up in the world. They're making it happen. New studio, new everything. All sorts of stuff, man. I also got my Zoom recorder. And I am going to, I just got it, and I'm going to begin recording more bonus content on it for Patreon people only. Patreon.com/thebestshow. We're going to do the Q&A this week. We'll get that up hopefully on Friday. That can go up. Is that possible, guys?
Yeah. When are you going to record it?
I'll try to record it tomorrow.
Yeah. Send it to me and it'll go right up.
Okay. It'll get recorded tomorrow.
Yeah. And the
Q&A.
Fourth episode of season 4 of Meet My Friends of Friends went up yesterday.
That's up. And then, yeah, man, it's all getting around. Best show. We're taking care of business here. Got another call for me?
Line 2.
Best show, hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
My name is Julia.
Julia, where are you calling from?
I'm from Albuquerque.
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yes, huh?
Which is the home of?
The Lobos and the West Mesa Bone Collector.
What?
And the doghouse.
The West Mesa Bone Collector is a serial killer, unsolved.
Okay. What about
speaking of
Mark
serial
Maron?
Coach.
Isn't he from Albuquerque?
Don't know who Mark Maron is.
You don't know who Mark Maron is?
No, I don't think so. Refresh me.
He does a show called WTF.
No, don't know it.
Mm, well, you got an adventure ahead of you. It's a podcast.
Yeah,
it's
some work to do. Yeah.
He's interviewed to the president and all sorts of not the current president, but other president, okay. Obama. He interviewed.
Okay.
And comedians. He interviewed Obama and Nick DiPaolo.
All right. Well, I've got some work to do. Clearly.
Yes. So to what do I owe the pleasure of this call tonight?
Well, I'm calling about the topic because, I don't really listen to this show, but my boyfriend loves it, and he suggested I call in because I have a certain gripe.
With me? What did I do?
No.
I'm sorry.
No, not with you.
What can I do? How much can I pay you to get you to like me again?
$50,000.
All right. Mike, cut her a check.
Thank you.
So go ahead, Julia. What were you saying? Who are you done with?
So
I was talking about the germs and the fact that Shane West is now the front man for the germs.
The actor.
Yes, the actor. And I know him because he was in this Nicholas Sparks movie called A Walk to Remember.
Okay. And who did he play in that?
He plays this young buck who is kind of a troublemaker in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he meets Mandy Moore, who's this religious lady. She's a mm-hmm. young woman also. She's a high school student. And they fall in love, although she's reluctant to do so. She has cancer. They get married, but she ultimately dies.
So he's in this movie as, like, he's just like a straight actor, kind of like a bland kind of actor.
Yeah.
And then, but then he ends up being this Germs biopic thing.
Yeah.
And then now he stayed in the Germs. He was playing Darby Crash, the troubled lead singer of the Germs.
Yeah. So now.
And then now he's actually has become him in his own strange way.
Yeah.
That's weird.
And I feel like it's totally disrespectful and gross and weird. And if Darby Crash were alive, he would be really grossed out by that.
Could you imagine if Darby Crash was, like, what music would he have made?
What, if he were still alive?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
What would his that music have sounded like?
Too much creativity for me at this moment to think about.
You don't picture him. I picture him in a band where he would have probably gotten into, like, he probably would have gotten into, like, synth stuff. Right.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Actually, we must be reading each other's minds because the first thing I thought about was synth.
Yeah. Computer Madness. He would have been like, right? Yeah. Songs like that.
Yeah.
Computer Madness. Well,
and you know, when he went solo, it was sad. It was not a great time for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no. I think he would have just kind of continued on this trajectory of really sad, sad thing.
He died on the same day John Lennon died. He didn't even get his own day to be recognized.
Poor him. I recognize him every year.
The sad story. What's that?
I recognize him every year.
Well, somebody does. He was a legend. He did. He was in one of the all time greatest crash and burn kind of bands. No pun intended. That ever was.
Yeah.
But they left their legacy.
Yeah. My boyfriend says you might not even know that much about the Germs.
What's that now?
My boyfriend, he listens to the show all the time. He says you might not even know that much about the Germs.
That I might not?
Yeah.
Who's this? Come on, man. Tighten it up. This guy, who do you think I am? I don't know about the Germs.
But come on. You're proving us. You're proving him wrong.
Yeah, I'm proving him wrong, not us. You didn't know.
Yeah, no,
you have no idea who I am. You don't know Mark Maron. You know who I am. You know who Don Bowles is. Right? No. Do you know who Don Bowles is?
No.
Oh, do you mean the drummer from the Germs? My. Suddenly the Germsophile is the Germsophile.
Well, here's the thing. I never claimed to be a Germsophile. I was just personally offended by the choice of Shane West being the leader of the Germs. Because what's his background?
Fair enough. No, that's a good point. It is pretty exciting, though, that Jake Gyllenhaal is the lead singer of the Weirdos now.
Yeah, I don't mind Jake Gyllenhaal. I think he's a pretty genuine person.
He was in Sack Lunch Bunch. Did you see that?
No.
You're not a big comedy fan, are you?
No, I am more of a true crime kind of guy.
So what do you like? You like My Favorite Murder?
I do, yes, I do. I'm a very big fan of Karen in Georgia.
Speaking Maybe of I true should, crime, Tom.
Yeah, Mike, AP Mike, just so you know, caller, he is
He's a producer on the show. He's been on the show since the beginning of time, basically. He's been here forever. And he's got some pretty weird interests. That's all I'm going to say.
Well,
he's a unique. He kind of dances to the beat of his own drum, if you know what I mean.
Have you seen the new podcast, Tom?
What's that?
Lisk. Long Island serial killer.
Because Mike's name is Lisk. His last name is Lisk. And he's so mad because the Long Island serial killer is an acronym for his name.
Yeah. Are you sure he's not actually Lisk?
So everybody's sending me, I guess this podcast has just started. So everybody's sending me, you know, the photo of the icon, I guess, for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's impressive to see your name just spelled out like that. But then underneath it, Long Island serial killer.
Hey, man. No such thing as bad press.
I guess it's unsolved.
Actually, maybe that might be the only example of it, is that you're sharing the name of a serial killer. I know a lot of people. I know what's his face. I saw the guy who does the Andy Kindler has this podcast, a political podcast where it's him. He's, because Andy's well known as an undecided voter. He goes back and forth. He's never sure who to vote for. He gets in the booth, then goes to make his mind up. But he has a podcast, and he's paired with some guy, this Elvis impersonator who is named Elvis Weinstein, and he was mad that Harvey Weinstein had the same name. And he was just like, this guy's ruined my good name. And then I was just like, man, you're doing a show with Andy Kindler. I guess you're not, I'm kidding. Guy's exactly not a quality control, not a job number one. Over at the Elvis Weinstein house. I'm kidding. I love Andy Kindler. Andy Kindler is one of my favorite comedians and one of my favorite people, for that matter. I don't know why I'm giving him the business. Why am I giving him the business? Who's your favorite comedian, caller?
What's his name?
Don't say Bob Hope.
No. Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman.
Yeah. Sure.
No one knew her, eh?
Yeah. Nobody knew. Well, I like Sarah Silverman. I like Chris Rock. I like, I like Karen Hartstark.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sorry, Karen Kilgariff.
Yes, you like comedians that talk about murder.
I do. Well, yes, I do. But that's just not my area of focus, unfortunately. Sure.
Yeah. Well, look, I says to you, thank you for calling. Thanks for listening. Welcome to the show. I hope you stick around a little bit more. I doubt you will, because you sound like you're not into it.
I'll be listening.
Well, I appreciate it. You have a grand evening.
Can I give him a shout out really quickly?
Yes, by all means.
Okay. Richard Scott Rideout, I love you.
There you go. Richard Scott Rideout. You did it.
Thank you.
Okay. Give me another call, please.
We are going to line 4.
Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
This is Andre from Marino, California.
Andre from Marino. Marino?
Marina.
Marina.
Yeah.
The city's just called Marina.
It is. It's about 10 minutes away from Monterey.
Yeah, Monterey. Yeah, man. Yeah. I get it. What's going on tonight?
Nothing. I didn't have anything for the topic, so don't shoot me. But I wanted to ask you if you had heard about the Prunedale Slingshotter.
What? No, I haven't. I feel like I'm stepping into a trap right now.
No, you're not. His real name is Charles Kenneth Lafferty,
He was a Prunedale resident, like about 10 minutes away from Marina. And like,
Prunedale is 10 minutes from you.
About, yeah.
And now he's the Prunedale what?
I dubbed him the Prunedale Slingshotter.
The Prunedale Slingshotter.
Yeah, he's a 52-year-old man who's accused of slingshotting glass marbles at cars on the highway, and there's like 79 charges against him.
Yeah. That's a lot of marbles.
Yeah, it's a lot of marbles.
Did he cause any accidents?
I just thought it was so funny that I just want to know what goes in this guy's head.
The Prunedale Slingshotter.
Yeah, for the whole of 2019, he was terrorizing the highways of 101 and 156.
Mm-hmm. Out there with his slingshot and marbles. Yeah, that's not. That's and they caught him?
Yeah, they finally caught him in January.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
They got him. We got him, right?
We got him, boys.
We got him.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you.
Remember when they said we got him?
I actually don't.
Who said we got him again? George W. Bush? Was that right, Mike?
No, he didn't get him.
Who said we got him? Clark? Was that the president's name? Clark? I can't remember anymore. Was there a President Clark?
No.
No.
Because it goes Trump. Then before him was Obama. Then it was Bush.
Bush.
Bush. Then it was Clark. No? President Clark?
Clinton.
That's why I don't know why I'm saying Clark. Clinton.
You were close.
Yeah.
Off by a few letters.
Yeah. So are you friends with this marble man?
Oh, definitely.
Did you go to the trial? Did you go to the trial?
No. I just saw on the local news that he was terrorizing the peninsula, and I thought it was kind of hilarious.
Sounds like Errol Morris might need to get involved in this one. Tell the story of Marble Man, right?
Yeah. I think he could write something.
Anything else you got for me? Got something for the topic, or are you just called to talk about Marble Man?
I'm called to talk about Marble Man, but I also wanted to tell you that I really love your impersonation of Seth MacFarlane's Peter Griffin voice. I almost drove off the side of the road when you were talking about that.
I'll never do it again. I want you to be safe. I will never do that impression again because it's a hazard to your safety. As long as I draw breath on this planet, I will never do that impression again because I'm concerned about you.
No, I just won't have to listen to the best show on driving.
No, I can't. I can't take the chance. You.
Oh, man.
You clearly have weird compulsions. You're obsessed with Marble Man of Prunedale, and I can't trust that you would responsibly drive if I started doing the Peter Griffin impression.
Okay.
So I'll never do it again.
Okay.
Thank you. Hang up on this.
Thank you. Bye.
Final call?
Final call. Let's have it. Best show. Hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
This is Nolan in Brooklyn.
This is no one in Brooklyn. What's up, no one?
Nolan. N-O-L-A-N.
N-O-N-A-N? Nonan?
Nolan.
Nolan. Okay.
Yeah.
You know when they also said there's Nolan in Brooklyn is when the Nets did not re-sign Jeremy Lin. Then there was Nolan in Brooklyn.
That's true, too.
See, I'm kind of a word smith. I look at words as little tools in my toolbox I can play with. And it really is fun to just play with words. The English language really is kind of delicious when you get down to it. You can just really have fun with the words. Where's my McMillions, Nolan? Where's the person who's serving me up a thing? Where's my Wes Anderson? Where's my McMillions game piece winner to just go, Tom, meet me in the men's room? Remember the guy's like, yeah, we both went to the men's room. He goes, yeah, and it's not what you think it is. What? What I think it is. What do you think I think's going on?
Hey, Tom.
Physician, heal thyself. What's that, AP Mike?
Do you think Doug did the pitch for McMillions? The hambone FBI guy?
No, I don't. What I think is they talked to him, and they were like, well, we got a movie. We got a show. Yeah, we got this guy. This guy is a star.
He's TV ready.
He is ready, because this one FBI agent is just like, yeah, so I realize he puts himself, it's like Argo.
Yeah.
He pretends to be a director, and he's doing this thing to talk to the McDonald's game winners to find out who's a crook. It's really quite impressive. And I like when they talk to this one old man, this one old dummy. Guy wins $1 million. This dunce can't get out of the can't not be in the spotlight. Volunteers to get interviewed. And I tell you, this guy's sweating. This guy starts talking about how he found that McDonald's game piece, weaving a flight of fancy on that thing. This guy's got more. This guy's dripping more than the shake machine at McDonald's. There's more fluid coming out of his forehead than there is out of the shake machine. I could have said, y'all order a large McSweats, and they would have brought that old guy back and stuck a cup under his eyebrows. This guy couldn't stay away, had to be on camera talking. Hubris.
Yeah, yeah,
hubris
yeah.
is what sunk the mighty Titanic, not an iceberg. It was hubris, my friends. And I say to you, I'll say this. I never saw 2/3 of the movie Titanic. I have no idea. Is that in Titanic?
No.
About hubris?
No.
It's not, is it?
No.
For some reason I thought it could be. But these people, man, they can't resist. They cannot resist the spotlight. And this guy, yeah, I mean, I'll get a free trip to Las Vegas to go to a – because also, first of all, this is what McDonald's does on this thing. Yeah, we – apparently AP Mike works at McDonald's for a second there. Yeah, we got a thing. Now, they say, yeah, we're going to have all the game winners have a reunion in Las Vegas. Reunion? They never met. They've never met before. They won their game. They weren't a championship team. These slobs are pulling off the game pieces from fry boxes.
Tom, you forgot to mention that the sweat machine, the first thing he did after he did the video, he ran home, and his phone was tapped. And he calls one of the masterminds and tell him what a bunch of idiots these people were.
Yeah, this moron steps right into an FBI investigation. They gave him a game piece, and they're just like, yeah, you go claim it. And he's like the father of one of the people.
Yeah.
So he goes and he gets the $1 million, and then he does the worst job ever with this thing. And then he runs off, and then he goes home. He's like, yeah, they asked me things. These idiots asked me all these questions. Yeah, they had no idea. They fell for it hook, line, and sinker. Meanwhile, they're busy mopping up the floor. They're laying down paper towels from this McDonald's guy. This dunce, this old dunce. I tell you, hubris. You ever feel yourself letting your ego drive the bus? That's when you tell yourself, you have to at least hit, At least pause then. Ask yourself why you're making certain decisions. If you feel ego, this old idiot had to be interviewed, had to be filmed. Couldn't resist his moment of glory. Filming him talking about how he's weaving this tail. And then they talked to some other guy with this pompadour. Looked like, what's his face? Football. Looked like the guy who won with the Cowboys. What's that idiot's name?
Jimmy Smith.
No, not Jimmy Smith. What was his name? Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson, yeah.
That guy won. The guy's got this shellacked hair helmet. Devo's hair moved more than this guy's hair moved when they wore those JFK wigs. And there's this guy who wins the contest, and he's just like, and he's laying on too many details. He's Stinsoning up the joint, right? He pulled a Stinson. 2 GPS talk. He's talking about, yeah, I went to the beach, and then I got this People magazine, and then they got caught in the ocean, splashed up, and it ruined it. So then I went and I bought a new copy at the...
Yeah.
Too many details.
Yeah.
Too many details. And he's talking about all these details. They got the thing. The magazine got hit by a wave. Washed out to sea. Then I went and bought another one. I pulled the thing off and it says I won $1 million. And he's got this giant head of hair. He thinks he's putting one over on everybody. I tell you, man, hubris. Says the person whose show is named The Best Show. I'll tell you this though. I got a lot of things going to drag me down. I got a hellhound on my trail. You don't think I know that? I got a hellhound on my tail or trail?
Trail.
I got a hellhound on my tail. He's coming after me, trying to chomp me in the rump. I mean, I know these are the Robert Johnson lyrics, and I need to cite them. I got a hellhound on my tail, chasing after me, trying to bite me on my rump. The words of blues legend Robert Johnson.
Yeah.
I know what it's like. I know what it's like when the black dog's chasing you. Churchill got it. I got it. But you know what? There's a lot of things going to bring me down. One thing ain't going to bring me down, man. Hubris. Hubris ain't bringing me down. I know I suck. But I don't. I don't really suck. That's what makes it good, is the voice says, eh, you're not that good. Keeps you humble. Got these contest winners. Got a guy wins a bleeping contest. The greatest accomplishment he ever did is, in terms of the narrative of this thing, he tore a thing off of a fry box. And he tells this story. You'd think it was the aristocrats the way this guy's telling the tale. When he tore the fry box off and found the thing, it said $1 million. And he thinks he's slick. This guy thinks he's slick. The only thing that's slick is the floor because of all the sweat pouring off his forehead. I tell you, if that was fry grease coming out of him, you could have fueled 100 McDonald's. This McDonald's thing. You know what the worst part of this is now, Mike?
What?
I want to go to McDonald's now. I want to go there and say, I'll get a filet of fish and a shamrock shake, even though I had one for the first time ever, and it was disgusting. I'll try it again.
Do they have any other green food?
No, that's Burger King.
Oh, yeah. That was an interesting commercial or ad.
Man, boy, Pat went off on that Burger King.
He perked up just now.
At least it's not dry.
You know what would get, you know what would be the ultimate conundrum for Pat? Free Burger King food inside Alamo Draft House. Showing a screening of Drowning Mona.
How about this?
What would you do, Pat? All ahead. The Burger King you can eat, but you have to eat it while watching Drowning Mona at Alamo Draft House, the movie theater that
I'll tell you what would happen.
Slammed
I would,
its door in your face.
I would drown in a long chicken, and that would be the end of me. But what about this? I seriously want to propose this. If any Best Show listener is connected to Alamo Draft House, I will host a screening of Drowning Mona at an Alamo Draft House in the name of the Best Show, and
yeah,
and we'll meet whatever needs they need financially, and we'll give the rest to charity.
I like it.
Who can help make it happen? Get in touch with me.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with that.
Get in touch with Pat. 1-800-PAT-BURN.
Don't call that number, though. No, don't call it. It's a weird
one. Go to at 1-800-PAT-BURN.
Yes.
On Twitter.
On Twitter.
I also want to say this. I'm initiating a thing. I proposed it next Tuesday. We're going to hype it all week. Next Tuesday, everybody does positive stuff on Twitter.
I'm in.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Why not?
Yeah.
Let's do it. So, like, compliment each other and just post.
No, you just
fun
say
stuff?
Things you like. You say things you like. You make it nice. Or you could compliment each other. I'm not going to tell you how to be positive. Yeah. You compliment
and
people.
You got
you
a,
compliment
a hashtag
people,
we
dude,
should
you
know. Use?
What's that now?
A hashtag we should use? Got it trending?
Positive Tuesday?
Positive Tuesday.
Okay.
There it is, right there. Yep. Hey, you guys know I wrote the hashtag.
Y'all remember when I wrote the hashtag?
Hey, man, y'all remember when I wrote that hashtag Best Show?
What a good hashtag.
Tom was saying, like, make it a positive thing. And I'm like, man, I remember when I was in the coal mines out there in West Virginia. A positive Tuesday, man. There you go. So, caller, anything?
Yeah, I had a quick question for you about a song you played on a previous episode that I can't remember what the episode was. And I've never heard this song otherwise, but I remember what you said about it. And I was wondering if you could help me figure out what the song was.
I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to close my eyes and picture the words you're going to say that I said about the song. Let's see if I can remember. Go ahead.
I think it was like a one-hit wonder. It might not have been a big hit, but it was by someone
Pac
that
Man
I think
Fever.
Was a child. What's up?
Go ahead. Sorry.
It was a song about rock and roll that was like in sort of an older 50s, 60s like style, but I think it was like a throwback. Like it wasn't actually the 60s. It was like the 70s or the 80s. And you
was
said
it called Rock Is Dead?
That might have been it.
Rock Is Dead by Donald Most?
I think that was it.
Rock is this by Donnie Most from Happy Days.
Bingo. That's it.
There you go.
Sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now hang up on this guy.
We have no more callers.
There we go. We have no more show.
We did it.
Worked out perfectly. Let me say this tonight. First of all, once again, saddened by the loss of Mr. Jokes, Steve Whalen. Condolences to everybody. Everybody, man, you got something you want to do. You better do it. You better do it. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? That's all I want to say. I also want to say any plugs, Jason?
Yeah, my show is tomorrow night at UCB Hell's Kitchen, 9 p.m. Jason
Gore's
Midlife
Crisis.
Tomorrow night,
Jason Gore's Midlife Crisis. The breakout one-man show at the UCB Theater in New York City at Hell's Kitchen. What time?
9 p.m. It's kind of a late one tomorrow. But
what? Say that again?
I said it's kind of a late one. I usually do them at 7:30. So we'll see who comes out at 9 p.m. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Very exciting. Pat, anything?
We're actually going to do a Steve Whalen benefit show at the Bell House on March 29th. So stay tuned for that. And awesome. We'll be posting information regarding that.
Do you think Brent Douglas will be involved in that show?
He is involved in it.
Okay, good. Mike, any plugs other than apmike.bandcamp.com?
No, I mean, yeah, I've got a lot of things coming up. I'll keep you notified.
No, thank you. And everybody, patreon.com/thebestshow. That's where we get the support for the show. We have content going up every week now. Meet My Friends, the Friends episode's going up. Going to record more of those next week, so we'll have a sweet backlog going. You'll never be without an episode of it. Going to have the Q&As going up end of the week. I'll do that tomorrow. Got the recorder now. We're good to go. We're back in business. And fun stuff coming. That's all I'm going to say. Fun stuff. Fun stuff. Hang tight for some fun stuff. How's that sound, Mike?
I like it.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm going to end with a song by a guy I saw play a couple nights ago, Destroyer, from the album Ken from 2017. This is Stay Lost. Best show. Back next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Bye. Oh, why wouldn't it play? Oh, you. You do this to me in this moment. Here we go.
Stay lost. Never find.